Before we get into Hosea, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read verse 9 through verse 20. And realize that these verses have an application to the physical bodies, but I think it can also be applied to spiritual things. It says, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and bellies for meat, but God shall destroy both of them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Just like Israel was a picture of his body. He was married unto her. They were one flesh. He was the head. They were the body. Just like us as believers. "Now the body is not for fornication, but it's for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? Is that not what Gomer was doing? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Flee those things. Flee youthful lust. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And that was Gomer's problem. She was not glorifying God with what he had given unto her. Now turn to Hosea chapter 2. We're looking at verses 8 through 13. Let's read those verses again. She had said in verse 7, after he had hedged up her way with thorns, his bride, the one that he loved, she said, it was better for me then than it is now. She's able to remember. She remembers how grace he was, and gracious and kind to her. He's a good husband. She was able, and God's able to remind us. "For she did not know, or she did not understand, or maybe she had forgot that I gave her corn and wine. She thought her lovers gave her all these things." Now these are everyday things. These could be physical things or spiritual things. What she had, he gave her. "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil. And he said, I multiplied her silver and her gold. And we know what she did with it. She prepared it for Baal. She used those things in the worship of a false god. Therefore, because she's done this, will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool, my flax, given." This was given to her. This is why I gave it to her, to cover her nakedness. "And now I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers." I'm going to expose her. When I take these things away, she won't have anything to hide behind. She won't have anything to cover herself. Because verse 10, the last part, "None shall deliver her out of my hand." She can't, and her lovers can't. No one. You think about that. No one can deliver out of his hand. Nobody. "I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her joy, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees. All he's got to do is send a drought. All he's got to do is let the things just dry up, and he'll take care of her vines and her fig trees. Whereof she said, here's what she said, "These are my rewards. These are my rewards that my lovers have given to me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field is going to eat those things, is going to devour those things. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers." She's seeking them. She's going after them with all of her heart, with all of her affections. And the whole time he said, "She forget me, saith Lord." Isn't that so sad? To see that picture, that here's a man what would just lavish his wife with all these gifts. Everything she had, he gave her. Go back and read Ezekiel 16. She's like a baby cast out and loathsome of its own person. And everything she had, everything Israel had, he gave her. Everything that he's given, everything we have, he's given us. And everybody in this world, everything they have, he gave them. He gave them. Our Lord had brought Israel from bondage in Egypt. He watched over her, and he separated her from every other nation. And when he divided up all the other nations, he divided them after Israel. This is where Israel is. This is mine elect. This is the one I love. And everything else is going to serve her. Everything else. Everything. That's what he gave her. He didn't give what he gave her, he didn't give to everybody. Those nations are left in darkness. There's people today living upon this earth, never heard the gospel, living in darkness. We've heard. We have the privilege. God's given it unto us. Given it unto us. He planted her in the best of land. The best of land. She had the best of land in Egypt. She lived in the land of Goshen. But you know what happened? In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15, it says, "But Jeshurun," which is another name for Israel or Jacob, "waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness." And you know what happened when he grew fat and lazy and prosperous? Then he forsook God which made him. Then he forsook him. Boy, you can apply that to a lot of things, can't you? Then he forsook God. Then he did this. And he lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. To me, that just describes what Israel did and what we all do by nature if he leaves us alone. Look how outwardly Israel was prospering. Outwardly, she may have been prospering, and she's going through religion. It's not that she's offering up sacrifices. She's doing this. This is her lovers. She's making sacrifices to her lovers. When she's running, that's showing that she's exerting her energy toward her lovers. But she had forgotten her God. She had forgotten her husband. They were not entitled the message this morning or the lesson, Gomer's Ingratitude. They were not grateful. To take what he gave her, instead of it being used for, he gave it to her to honor him. That's why he gave it. But instead of honoring the Lord with it, we're going to take it over here and give this honor unto an idol, unto a false god. But many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. He won't leave her alone. He said, yeah, she may say this is what she's going to do. All I've got to do is hedge up her way with thorns. All I've got to do is make her way uncomfortable. And that's what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And that's what we're going to look at today. She was ungrateful. Well, what do you think the Lord's going to do? You think he's going to stand by and not do anything? Oh, no. He loves his people. Those that he loves, he rebukes and chastens. The Lord had given them the temple, and he had instructed them how to worship God. They knew better. They could not plead ignorance. They've been worshiping at Baal and Dan for years. And what was at Baal and Dan? They was a golden calf. They were not going to Jerusalem to worship. The reason they put an idol at Bethel and Dan, out of convenience. And they're worshiping this golden calf, and they're doing it in the name of God. In the name of God. It's nothing more than idolatry. Men today can become comfortable in their religion. They're going after their other lovers, and they're not a bit ashamed. They don't blush. It doesn't bother them. Be like a woman, she having a good husband, and she's out here just running the streets, and it doesn't bother her whatsoever. She don't care who knows it. She don't care. They don't care. They say things like, do you not know what you just said? I mean, do you not care? Do you not care what everything that God did for you and did for us? But they were comfortable. And here's the thing. They didn't see anything wrong with what they were doing. That's sad. Didn't see anything wrong with what they were doing. You know, Peter, when he denied our Lord, it's like, did he not know what he was doing? We read that and we see ourselves, and he's denying our Lord. He's even cussing like a sailor. No, I don't know him. And the Lord turned and looked at him and reminded him of what he had done. He said, I'm gonna warm myself by the enemy's fire. And she'd become comfortable. But how will God chasten his people? How's he gonna bring her back? He's the husband, he has all the rights to her. She's been bought with a price. She's his. He paid a dowry for her. She's his. He could force her, but he's not going to, because that's not how he works. The goodness of God leads a man to repentance. And that's what we're going to see, is how he's going to bring Gomer back to himself, and he will. And you better thank God that he won't leave you alone. And when you stray, and when we do stray, he will bring us back. He must make her want to come back. She says, well, this is just so uncomfortable. Why is everything going wrong? Why is everything? Oh, it wasn't like this when I was married to my husband. It wasn't like this when we were obeying the Lord and serving him and worshiping him. And now look, now what am I doing? I'm going to hedge up her way with thorns. She will not be able to find any satisfaction. Now watch this. She won't be able to find any satisfaction in those lovers. He's going to make those lovers, he's going to make her sick of them. And you know what you did when before the Lord saved you? He made you sick of false religion. He made you sick of it. He made you sick of yourself. He made you sick of it. Sick of it. Until he does, we'll be just like the prodigal son down in the hog pen. You'll be just like the sow that was washed. You wash her up, and she goes in and brings her back to the farm, and she wallows in the mire. She's just like a dog that turns around and leaks its own vomit again. She said, I'll go return to my first husband. It was better with me than it is now. What did she remember about him? He was merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He loved her unconditionally. She had to try to win the affections of those false lovers. She had to put on an attire and wear her earrings and jewelry and all these things that God had given unto her. She wears these to impress her lovers to get their attention. Someone said it's much easier to bear the yoke of the Lord than to be the servant of men. There in verse 8, for she did know. Over in chapter 4, verse 6, here's what it says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For lack of knowledge. People are perishing today or being destroyed for lack of knowledge. They have no knowledge of the truth. They have no knowledge of justice. They have no knowledge of grace. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. They don't want the knowledge. They can't plead ignorance if they didn't. They rejected it. I'm not going to listen to that. He's not telling me what to do. I'm not bowing to any man's authority. What that is? Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And he says, thou hast rejected knowledge. I'll reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will forget thy children. Like I said, Israel knew better. What did she do? What did she do with the knowledge she had? He said, she understood not that I gave her the corn and her wine and her oil. There was no excuse for this. Do you know everybody's without excuse? And I said, there's places in this world people's never heard the gospel. But every one of them's without excuse, because the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Men just don't like the knowledge they have, and they reject knowledge. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Well, who is this man? Well, who is he? He's the creator. When he said, let there be light, there was light. All things were created by him and for him. That's who he is. He's ruler over all things. And he said, she knew not that I had given her her corn and her wine and oil. I multiplied her silver and her gold, and she took it and prepared it for Baal. What is that saying? How does that apply to us? When we take what God has given unto us and use it to serve our own pleasure. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I can tell you a little secret. And we all need to be reminded of this. The world is striving for your affections. They want you to set your affection, not affections with an S, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he's the treasure. But it wants to win your heart. It wants your affection, your time. It wants to consume you. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. God multiplied their silver and their gold. Where did Israel get any silver and gold anyway? You remember? They were a bunch of slaves in Egypt. But when they came out, they ain't poor. They spoiled the Egyptians. How did they get the gold to make a golden calf? God gave it to them, and then they turned around. First thing they did was, and I don't know why in the world they made a golden calf. Why not a golden dog or a horse, but the golden calf. Oh, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt. Okay, and now when we're going to worship at Dan and Bethel, we're going to make us some more golden calves. With the gold that God gave us, we're going to paste it on this false god that can't move, that can't hear, can't see, can't talk. This is our God. That's what most people's God is. It's a god they've made. And they dress it up so it looks pretty. But if you look beyond it, you see what it is. It's just a dead god's what it is. There's only one God. That's what he's going to teach Israel. You're mine. I bought you. I purchased you. I'm not going to just let you go. Listen, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 4, they decked their God with silver and with gold. They fastened it with nails and hammers that it move not, because they can't let it fall over. When it says God does laugh, you'll see another funny story is when they captured the ark and they take it into their temple for their false god, Dagon. He's a half man, half fish. That's what Dagon was. And Dagon's sitting there, you know, just an old idol. And they take, well, here they do. They take the Ark of the Covenant. They're just going to add him to all the other gods. And they go in there one day, and the next morning, Dagon's on his face. Why is he on his face? God throwed him on his face. He's nothing. Well, they got to prop him up. Go back in and he's fell over, and I think his head and his arms just fell off. We're going to prop up a stump. Men go about to establish their own righteousness. That's what they're doing. They have to prop up their religion. We got to fasten it. We got to carry him. And you say, Israel knew better. We know better. Ezekiel chapter 16, that same chapter where it's talking about the infant, it says in verse 17, thou hast also taken thy fair jewelry of my gold and of my silver, which I had given unto you, and madest to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredoms with them, and tookest thy broidered garments, and covereth them. And now thou hast set mine oil and mine incense that I gave you before then. You pray to a God who cannot save. My meat also I gave thee, my meat also which I gave thee, thy fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed you. Thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was. So see, it's all through the scriptures. He reminds them. He said, this is what I gave you. And what did you do with it? What did we do with it? You know, that's a question to be asking. I think we should always ask ourselves a question. What are we doing with what God gave us? We have more responsibility than a lot of people because we have more advantages than a lot of people had in generations in the past. It's amazing that we can send a message this morning all over the world. We're responsible. And God has given people the knowledge and the ability to do those things. I can't, but he's given us the ability. And we use it for his glory, not for our honor. Matthew Henry said, it is a very great dishonor to the God of heaven to make those gifts of his providence the food and the fuel of our lust, which he gave us for our support in his service, to be oil to the wheels of our obedience. They should have given their first fruits to God, and they didn't. What am I saying? They had deprived God of his just honor. They transfer to their own idols what they ought to have given to God only. You know what they did? That's called robbery. Will a man rob God? He sure will. They will rob God of his glory and give it to someone else. Who are they bragging on? You say, well, preacher, that's talking about somebody else. No, I'm talking this morning. I don't miss this. I'm talking to us. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. Did you know the Galatians dealt with this? Nobody's ever been exempt from it because we still have an old man. He's not changed. He's not improved. Well, if he has changed, if anything, he's got worse. He wants to be worshipped as God. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be happy. He wants everything to go his way. When things don't go his way, he gets mad. Isn't that it? Here's what he said to the Galatians. Paul writing, he's writing to believers. We know that he is. He's writing to the elect. I marvel that you are so removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, because there's only one gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, how quick you are removed unto him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Then he says in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. When men take the scriptures and they use them for wrong purposes, I've heard people actually tell me this who claim to be believers. I can't see their heart. And they would forsake the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. That's so plain. They said, I don't know what I'm going to do with that verse. Well, what are you going to do with it? The only way to do with it is bow to it. That's what you're supposed to do to it, is bow to it. I mean, to say, well, I'm just not coming. Okay, then. They're without excuse. They know the scriptures. They said, I'm just not going to do that. Why wouldn't they do it? Why would somebody deliberately not want to obey God's word? When men take the scriptures and use them for wrong purposes, instead of leading them to worship God. Now, they may pretend to worship God. And can I tell you another little secret? I want to say this with as much love as I can say it. There is no excuse for not coming to the house of God and worshiping God. I know now that we do the video and we do audio, but it is no substitute. I know if you have to work, I understand that. And you know where I'm coming from. But as far as to say, it would be easy to sit at the house. It would be easy this morning if I just got up and just put on a shirt and I could just have on my jogging pants or whatever and just sit. And I'll just do the message from the house, you know. You know what that is? I'd be comfortable. It takes something to get up and drive an hour to come to church or to drive from Athens. That's to the flesh. You know, and the flesh says, I really have to go today, you know. You see what I'm saying? These are the things we struggle with. But I can tell you this. When we had to meet, when it was just me doing messages live stream because of the coronavirus, it's not the same. It's not the same to go back there and speak to Brady and hug his neck or to hug Danny's. It's not. There's no substitute for that. Why? That's how God made it. We need each other. We need to be reminded that we struggle with these things every day. And we need it. And we come not because we're forced. We need to. I don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together is the manner of some is, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I know this, he will do everything he can to try to stop you. You can mark it down. I know. Verse 9. But I will return Boy, that's grace in itself, and I will return. And I'm going to take away my corn. And it's time. Like I said, all he's got to do is just hold back the rain and there not be any corn, there not be any harvest. And the new wine in its stated time. In his time. God will now deprive them of those things that they had been so ungrateful to him for. He's going to deprive them of those things. Those things that he had given them, he's going to take them away. You know, and as I thought about the message, I couldn't help but think, and when you can't help but think with everything that we see going on in this world, I mean, it's just, the world's gone just flat mad. Mad. Look at the blessings we have. Look at the blessings. What if God began to take away the blessings we had in this nation? You just think for a minute. He could. He could very easily. Just like he caused the virus. He brought it. Why has the world forgotten him? Do they not want to talk about him? Do they not want to think about him? Here's what he said in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, it's not that they didn't know God. They glorified him not as God. And the first thing, neither were they thankful. They are not thankful that he is God. They are ungrateful that he is God. Everything they have, God gave them. Why did God let Amazon be raised up? Who gave him that knowledge? Or any one of them you want to pick. The Lord just says, I'm taking it. I'll take it back and you won't have anything. Can he? And why would he do that? He would do that to save his people. He says, hold on now, you've gone far enough. They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You go, man, do they not have any reasoning? Their foolish imagination. They are not God. There's one God, and he's God. Vain imaginations. You just go on and think that. Ask Israel after he allows them to go into captivity. He takes it all away. Now they have no place to worship. Before they could have went and worshiped. Now they can't. Now they have no temple. They're just dispersed. Then verse 25 of Romans 1, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve the creature, man, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Does that not describe false religion? It's not that you can change the truth of God for a lie. You can't change God's word. They exchange it. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. God's blessing us. People don't even have a clue what they're saying. You have a blessed day. You may have it may be the worst day of your life, and it could be a blessed day. Job, when he was losing it, that was a blessed day. They think, well, if you're healthy and wise and prosperous and you're healed and healthy and all those things, well, you're blessed, you're prospering, and God's showing his marvelous favor to you. He may show his favor to her when he took it all away. He said, you've taken what I've given you? Instead of giving me the glory? You want to worship your own self? And you want everybody else to worship you? Matthew Henry said that he will take it away in the time thereof, in the season thereof, just when they expected it. Be like Danny going to plant him a crop of corn, and if everything goes just right, I'm going to make 100 bushels per acre. Oh, but then a blight comes. I saw this one time back in North Carolina. Someone was allowing us to plant part of their garden, and the people that was their garden. They planted the upper end of the garden corn. Well, me and Sandy at the lower end of the garden, which was the worst part of the ground. I mean, it usually didn't grow that much, but that's where we planted our corn. I've never had so much corn. We put up about 800 ears of corn that year. What happened to those at the other end of the garden? And I've never seen this happen before. I've seen blackbirds tear up cornfields, but these blackbirds came in on that corn and they tore it all to pieces. It's like they sat on the stalk and just pecked it till there was nothing left on the cob. Why did they spare mine? Wasn't mine was any better. Mine was planted in the same field. Probably planted the same seed. I know who did it. I can't make it grow. I can't stand over and keep the crows off of it. But he can. You know what our Lord said? He said, three times a year, I require every male to go to Jerusalem and worship. Three times a year. I can see Danny, he leaves Kathy. What's to stop somebody? They know Danny when he's going to be gone. They know he's gone those three times a year. What's to stop somebody from coming in there and raiding his house and taking Kathy off somewhere? God said they won't even want your property. You know why? Those that honor me, I water them. But you know what would cross your mind? Well, Satan said, well, what, you're going to lose everything while you go. No, you won't. No, you won't. Ask the Syrians that were going to come against Israel. And they said, we're going to destroy you. And your gods can't save you. And God sends one angel and kills 185,000 of them. Why would God do that for you? You know why? He loves you. He will not let you go. He'd rather strip you of everything than for you to lose your soul. Then in verse 10, he said, I will uncover her lewdness. What he's saying is, he's going to bring to light her secret wickedness that she thinks she has it hid and concealed. He says, when I punish her, I will reveal how awful and how offensive her sin is. God will expose it for what it is. I can't help but even bringing up Achan, because I think it even mentions about Achan, because he's, I think, in the latter part of this chapter where it says he gave the Valley of Achor for a door of hope. And the Valley of Achor is where Achan was destroyed because he took what was not rightfully his. And you think, why? You know what God did? God revealed it. Achan thought he had it hid, didn't he? In his tent. Nobody knows it. His family may not have known about it. But what he did not only affected Achan, it affected his whole family. What does this mean? God will uncover the baseness of the people before their lovers. He's having reference to the shamelessness of women who dare to say basically to God, you have no right over me. But God says nothing's going to hinder me. They say God doesn't have the right to do this, and he will discover it. He discovered Achan's. And you know, people hide under a lot of things. People hide under professions. Adam wanted to hide under fig leaves. Matthew Henry said, and then he's going to do this in the sight of her lovers. They go, ew. Listen. With whom she counted an alliance, and on whom she had a dependence, they shall despise her and be ashamed of her. When he exposed Israel for what they were, all those nations that she looked to and depended on turned against her. It talks about in the book of Revelations about the nations of the world became rich because of her. And in one day she's fallen. That great city Babylon is fallen. God is going to expose it for what she is. She's a harlot. She tries to keep it hid. Paul, she says, I'm really not that bad. And she said, I'm going to expose it to her lovers. And everybody's going to see it. In Lamentations 1:8, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed, and all that honored her despised her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sighed and turned backward. When the Lord is done with Gomer, she's going to be an old hag, and nobody would want her. Nobody would want to be seen with her except one, and that's Hosea. You know what that is? That's just grace. Someone said, and when God comes to deal thus with her, none shall deliver out of his hands, neither the gods nor the men that she trusted in. Those who will not deliver themselves into the hands of God's mercy cannot be delivered out of the hand of his justice. And no man can rescue thee from my hand. And in verse 13, he says, I will punish her idolatry. And I will visit upon her as in the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers. And forget me, saith the Lord. Our Lord said, don't make unto thee any graven images. Let me just read you that and then we'll finish. In Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Most of you men, I know you love your wives. And part of that love is you're jealous over your wife. You're jealous over the affections of your wife. And God, that's the way God describes his love for Israel. He was jealous over her. He was jealous over her with a godly jealousy. He loved her. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Israel's reaping upon the third and fourth generation. The king who was actually king then was the fourth descendant from Jehu. And one nation affects another generation. And I think about this a lot. I wonder what it's going to be like when my grandchildren grow up. Will there be anything left? I mean, really, we should think about those things. This generation. And you ask yourself the question, How in the world did Israel wind up here? Well, how did we wind up here? How did we wind up here individually? How did we wind up here as a nation and as a world? Everybody's angry. Everybody's mad. Isn't it just, there's no mirth. Is there no joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what? There's joy in worshiping the Lord. I pray that God would use that and help us all and deliver us from everything that would try to distract our hearts away from Him. Amen.